We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on. I want to say to those who are visiting with us who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and you're a distinguished guest of our audience, and we appreciate you so very much for being on. To brothers and sisters across the nation who joined us today, wherever you are, a member of the Lord's Church, you too are welcome to our online services. We are thankful that God has provided us this venue and this means of being able to come together, that you may hear the word of God and be able to serve him. And we know that the COVID situation have us on this call, and hopefully this is going to go away real soon. We hope and pray, but we know that's in the hands of God. God is in control and not man. God is in control of this whole situation. And hope and praying that we'll soon be able to all come back together in one place. However, we know that this must be something we do cautiously, and we will continue to be cautious. And I just described to you all like this. There are people who will drive on the freeway, the speed limit's 55, but they'll choose to run 75, 85, and 95, putting themselves and others at risk, and that's a free choice. You can do that. But then you have those who will drive 55, which is the law, and they are less likely to kill themselves and others. But then you have those who are going to drive 75, 85, they're going to blow horns at those who drive 55 because they really take more risk than we are. And I'm not willing to take the kind of risk. I'm going to drive 55 in this situation. I think you understand what I'm saying. And so we're cautiously preparing to go back to the building, and we're praying that that'll happen soon. This morning, I would like to encourage you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, and I want to thank Brother Stroud and all those who have supported, helped me, and those who prayed for me on last week, and I took a much-needed break, and of course, you all know my situation, so we thank you so very much for your prayers, and we ask you to continue to pray for us. Now, this morning, we continue our study of the book of Acts, and we go on to Acts chapter 4, picking up in verse 23, but as a means of recapping this this study, we have come to this point in Acts 4 where Peter and John have healed the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. They had healed him, and Peter and John have been instructed by the religious leaders to not speak in this powerful name of Jesus. And Peter and John have been locked up overnight, threatened, and now released by these men. And we pick up here in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. He said, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Peter and John go back. Notice they go back and they report to people the Bible calls their own company. Their own company, that company right there. Their own company, they went back to people who were like-minded, of the same mind, that same company of people. That's important here now because these people got to stick together because some of them are going to be killed because they're Christians. And you know, some are going to be stoned. So here we are, the Bible is revealing there was a group, there was a company there. That word company means that they were pertaining to, that is, of their own. They were not separate. They were all together. They were all together. So they had the same thought process going through. And that was going to be important. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So they went back to their company. And they reported what those chief priests and elders. And so Peter and John said, hey, we're going to go tell it. They went back and said, this is what they did. This is what they done to us. And they went back and told the other servants. And they reported to them. And it's important for us to know that to stay together, we kind of got to know what's going on around us in our situations. Now, according to Acts 4:4, we learned that there are probably 5,000 believers in this powerful name of Jesus. These believers have been baptized and added to the church, and that's called them a company. And these are members of the Lord's church, at Acts 2 and 47. They have not even been called Christians at this point. These are primarily Jewish Christians. And Acts 10, Cornelius don't come on board. And Peter has to go down there and preach to him. And in Acts 11 and 26, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is about 10 years later before they was ever called a Christian. Some brothers brought to my attention. They did not call them Christians until after the Jew and the Gentile had come together, which means God was not willing to call them Christians until they was interracial. They were not divided by race. It was for the Jew and the Gentile, bond and free, slaves and masters, had to come together. That's why we know racism is wrong. And even God waited until all of them came together. And that's when he called them Christians. We studied that. Now, let's see what we can learn from this company of believers that was in the first century. Verse 24, the Bible says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. When they heard all that Peter and John told them, they told them how to heal the lame man, how they questioned as to what name they done this, how they were locked up and threatened by the religious leaders at that time, how they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John refused to obey them. So these people, these company, the people that all want to call, the Bible said they lifted up their voice. Notice this. When they heard what they had done to Peter and John, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They said, Lord, thou art God. They recognized who was in control of the situation. That's something we really need in today's world. Because when you look at the polarized and the political stuff going on, the COVID-19 going on all over the world, we may want to point at some man's power. But we got to remember that who's in control of what's going on in this world is God. God can stop whatever he wants to stop. He can allow whatever he chooses to allow. So what are we to do when religious leaders would do such things like that to Peter and John? What did they do? What they did, they just cried to God. And that's what we need to be doing today, my brothers and sisters. We need to be praying to God about the world situation today. What God do we pray to? The one that made heaven and earth, that's in control of the air, the rain, the hurricanes, the sun, the moon. He hung it on nothing. And when this world is the situation, it is what it is, but God is still on the throne. And as believers, we trust in God and not man. We don't trust in man. We trust in God. These believers lifted up their voice to God, and they start to pray. Peter and John were standing up against these religious leaders. And these brethren were praying. This company of believers were together. There was a one accord. What a sound this must have been, hearing this many believers pray, Lord, thou art God. Can you imagine that? Read that again, verse 24. It said, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, all at the same time. And Lord, thou art God, has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. This prayer is directed straight to the God of heaven, who made the heaven, earth, and sea. Verse 25, who by the mouth of that servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. These early believers knew the Old Testament. That's Psalm, the second division, verse 1 and 2. David had quoted and said this in this book of Psalms. This is one of the reasons they're so excited to witness the prophecy of the Old Testament come true. These leaders had a hand in killing and crucifying Jesus. These leaders were standing against the Lord. These believers have witnessed with their own eyes. These company of believers have witnessed with their own all of this to come true right there in Jerusalem. They know they hung him on the cross. The world knows that they knew that they had killed Jesus the Christ. In verse 27, the Bible says, for a truth against the holy child, Jesus. The holy child, Jesus. I want y'all to note this. There's only one holy child ever comes from a woman. And she was a virgin. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he says unto us, a child has been born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is him, that holy child, Jesus, born of a virgin woman. Thy Bible says, for truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, chosen Messiah. Then they start listening, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand had thy counsel determined before to be done. What these people did, they did at their own will. It was their decision. It was Pilate's decision. He made his own will. However, it was God determined before that somebody would kill his son. They would kill the holy child, Jesus. Listen, what God said through Isaiah about the predetermined counsel. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, he said, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and root out of a dry ground, have no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him, the Holy Child, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, the Holy Child. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, the sheep before his shearers dumb, and he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, who declared his generation, for he was cut off out of the land of living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Talk about the Holy Child. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in the death, because he had done no violence. Talk about the Holy Child. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord. Here it is. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. God's decision that he had put him to grief when I had made his soul an offering for sin. He did it for us. He sent the Son, the Holy Child, and then he sent the Son. He gave the Son. He gave the Son. That's what the book of Acts tells us. There was the Holy Child, and then he gave the Son for us, an offering. The Holy Child was an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in the land, in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, God. The father saw what they did to his child. But he's satisfied. He was a propitiation. By the knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide his portion. Him a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong. But he poured out of his soul, out of his soul unto death. There he is. Who is this? The Holy Child. He was numbered with the transgressions. He bore the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressions. See, everything that happened to the Holy Child, Jesus, everything that will happen to his disciples was already recorded in the Old Testament. And so here he says, it reminds me, he reminds all those believers, this is what the Bible then says, a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom God has anointed, Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and that determined, thy counsel determined before to be done. It was already determined. It was going to be done. And now he says this. And now, Lord, behold, they're threatening. Look at this. They're appealing to God. They pray to him. Now they're saying, God, look at what they're doing to the Christian. They're threatening them. They're threatening Peter and John. They're threatening. So they come back and say to God, grant unto thy servant. This is where I get my sermon title right here. This grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. See, the power is in the word. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into all good works. The word of God is quick, is powerful, sharp, and then any two-edged sword, piercing even the mind, the soul, and the soul, and the spirit, joints and marrow, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the power is in the word of God, you know? So their prayer with Lord, look what they're doing to us. Look at how they're threatening us. Will you grant a give unto your servant, those of us who serve you, boldness to speak thy word? Boldness is what's needed from good gospel preachers. Boldness is what's needed for Christians who love God and know God's word is truth, to be able to tell it, to speak it in love. We speak the truth in love. But sometimes they're requesting that they can be bold at it. This is very important for my lesson today, because that's the title right there. Grant unto us, your servants, that with all boldness we will be able to speak your word. How many of you can speak God's word with boldness? How many of you can do that? How many of you know how important that is to be able to say the truth? We are sometimes very concerned about hurting feelings. We don't want to hurt feelings. That's not our intent, to hurt feelings. But the truth got to be told. And it has to be told in a way that people know the authority is in the speaking of the word of God. So they ask God to grant or give them that boldness. See, God knows, brothers and sisters. Did he know and see what's going on in our lives? He knows what's going on around us. He knows what we're up against, y'all. We're not in this alone. God is watching everything. He know you sick. He know what people are sick. He know what's going on in our families. He know what's going on in our lives. He know what's going on in your private life. He knows everything. So when we know God know everything, we can make our request known through prayer. And that's what these people did. They knew that to take on these people who try to kill Peter and John and them and the Christians then, that God would have to grant unto them boldness to speak his word. And I'm so thankful, personally, to know that when someone say you bold, if that's a compliment. You bold, Brother Brooks. That's a compliment. Because God grant that to us. He gives us that privilege. If I'm going to speak his word, and he gives me, he grant to us boldness. This means boldness when speaking his word is approved by God. And I stand as one of those men who will say, if I believe it's wrong, according to the scriptures, I'm going to boldly say it. And that's what's going on here in the first century church. Even in our prayers, we must pray that God grant us boldness to stand in this wicked world we're in today. I don't know about you, but I don't even like looking at the news anymore. Something's going on that's disturbing to me. Just very disturbing. Things I never thought I'd ever see. People saying things I thought I'd never hear in the 6 years I've lived on this earth. The doctrines of men, false doctrine, is all over TV and radio. It's everywhere. It's channel after channel. People act as if the Bible has no relevance, no authority, as if it's not even God's word, and they hold it in their hand and lie to people. People are acting as if God has not spoke. But I want to tell y'all, the book says forever, O Lord, your word is subtle in heaven. God has spoken. He's spoken about the doctrines. He's spoken about false churches, false teachers. He's spoken about homosexuality. He's spoken about same-sex marriage. He spoke about people killing babies, abortion, all these different teachings. He's talking about how these men are going to be greedy for money. All you hear is prosperity teaching on TV. And guess what? God already said it was going to happen. He already told us there were going to be mega churches, and many people would go that way. There would be a straight gate, and there would be a narrow gate, that only a few would find it. It should not surprise us to see big mega churches who call themselves too blessed to be stressed. Their monetary don't mean that money or those big buildings don't mean they're being blessed. These Christians were blessed. They were being arrested and put in prison. This is what Peter was happening. Peter and them, you couldn't look at them and say they were blessed. These Christians were having to hide to save their lives. So God had told us everything in this world, everything we're seeing in this world that's going on. And I've said it, I think, a couple of times, it just disturbs me to see two men kissing on TV and our kids watching that. They got to watch two men with beards kissing, promoting homosexuality, promoting use of a drug. Okay, it's okay to get AIDS. It's okay to have HIV because they can't detect it anymore in your bloodstream, and you can't transmit it. So go ahead and be a homosexual because we got some medicine. You know that couldn't have came from God, y'all. We know that couldn't have came from God. We know that. We know that. That's disturbing. If I was a parent, I would turn it off. I wouldn't let my kids see that. Even though they won't be exposed to this in the world we live in. LGBT movement is huge now. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. The Bible says it. So when you look at what we're up against in this world, it's going to take boldness to preach, y'all. It's going to take boldness for Brother Brooks to stand against them. And you have to be bold in your relationships and friends and family members. You have to be able to tell them. It's not wrong to tell people the truth. It's wrong not to tell them the truth. That's what's wrong. You don't get somebody in a burning house and then tell them they're not in it. You don't need to leave them in the burning house. Don't tell them. Try to scream at them. Get them out. Be bold enough to tell them. That's what we're talking about today. But it's the leaders and the people that's going to be the problem. When you see weak churches, even in the Lord's church today, we got weak elders and weak preachers who will let anything come into the church and go along with it. Just go along with men bringing anything into the worship now. Praise dancing, praise tunes, beatboxing, praise mic. Well, the leaders are the problem. If that happens, how like it's me and the men who stand with me. That allow stuff like that to go on. We are the problem. Why you say that? The Bible says in Isaiah 9:16, for the leaders of the people cause them to err. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Isaiah 3 and verse 11, the Bible said, woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. Anytime leaders don't stand and be men and lead and start putting women in leadership, do you know even in the church they got women now in some congregations as elders? How can that woman ever be husband on one wife? Well, I guess she could if under the LGBT thing going on. They call a woman a husband and a wife. You know, that's two female. My brother Brooks, you're all against homosexuality. I'm against sin, period. And no, I'm not discriminating. I'm against anything that's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. You just got to be bold enough to say it's wrong. Can't go along with it. Go along with folks saying, oh, they were born that way. No, that's a choice. The Bible doesn't support that. And so we look at the, if things come into the Lord's church, it's the meaning. It's the leaders who do it. God put us in leadership. That's what he does. All of us brothers who are in leadership, we got to recognize God gave us that responsibility to lead the church safely, to make sure our women are taken care of and our children. We ought to be out front, being bold, like Peter and John. Boldness. And we need to be praying, church. Y'all need to be praying about Brother Brooks. You should pray for me. Pray for Brother Strive. Pray for the leaders who are bold, that God would grant us to this boldness to preach, the boldness to stand, to stand the ground, to stand our ground against wrong, even when it's me. When Brooks is wrong, I'm wrong by the ground. It doesn't exempt any of us. If we wrong, we are wrong. That's it. But we must continue to pray for boldness and be company with those who will support boldness with and when speaking the word of God. That's one of the great joys I find at Highland Heights myself right now. With the group of trustees and the group of brothers that we have, I feel fully supported. Fully supported. And I thank them for that. So because I can stand knowing that there's a company with me, people on the same team. And when we make decisions, even though people may criticize or they may say something, if we know we're doing what's right in the eyesight of God, we boldly stay with our decision that it's right is right and wrong is wrong. We're just going to do it. I thank you, brother. I thank those brothers. I thank that brother, just like all the men who are coming on my nationwide gospel meeting call, which is expanding far beyond I ever imagined, to know that many men who believe like me, who are bold and speaking, who don't mind saying there's one church, who don't mind saying you're not saved, there's not any church of Christ. You've got to say it for people that know it. If they ain't going to never hear it if we don't tell them. That's one great joy I found. And I feel like I'm working harder now than I ever have with this gospel meeting. And man, I tell you, just learning these men out there is such a great joy to my heart. And there were times when I thought it was just a few of us left. But there are men who still are bold, like Peter and John, that are still bringing them. Y'all been hearing them. Some of you ain't missed a call yet. And those who have missed, I pray you get on the call. You're missing some great sermons. In verse 30, and back to Acts, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. These people have witnessed signs and wonders. Remember the man leaping, stood upright on his feet. The man was leaping and going into the temple. They saw all that. They saw what happened on the day of Pentecost when they start speaking in unknown tongues. Everybody, how we know, how is it that we hear them in our own language? They seen all that stuff happen on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached to them. And now in verse 31, he said, when they had prayed, watch what happened. Watch what happens after the prayer. When these people call this company, asked God to grant them boldness, God responded to that prayer. He responded to that prayer, and notice what happened. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with, look how he done it, with boldness. So God said, I support, I will give you what you ask me. And brothers and sisters, when we understand the power of prayer, then we go to God and we ask. That's what we need to be doing right now in this world. We need to be praying to God. These believers pray to God in one accord. These believers ask God for boldness, and God responded. When God responds, he can shake up some stuff. God can shake us. A whole lot of shaking going on right now. The place was shaken where all the people were. God was saying, I hear you. These people were filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning God's presence was known. They knew it was God. He responded to their prayer. God answered their prayer. They spake the word of God with boldness. We must remember church to be a praying church, to be praying people, because there's power in the prayers of the righteous. The eyes of the Lord open, the righteous ears are open to their prayers. He turns his face against them to do evil. There's power in prayer. What's going on in your life? You pray about it. You need another job. You pray about it. Your finances going down. You pray about it. You're concerned about the COVID. Pray about it. You got something going on in your marriage. Pray about it. Something going on with your children. Pray about it. Pray. That's where the power is at. God will grant power to his children. His eyes are over us. And his ears are open to our prayers. And that's where spiritual relationship with God, the blessing, it's called a spiritual blessing to be a child who can talk to our Father, and our Father knows when to respond, and he will shake up some things when he's ready to shake it up. I don't know what's going on in your life, but what is your prayer life like? How many of you are praying for a better relationship with your husband and wife? How many of you are praying that we can get back to the bill? How many of you are praying that this thing will be over? How many of you are praying that you can overcome something you're dealing with, that you can be stronger in this Christian walk? How many of you are praying for people who you've lost loved ones, who are grieving and still having difficulties? How many of you are praying that God can shake up things? I'm one of those people. I'm praying. You praying? Look at it. And verse 30, and the multitude. Look at this. The multitude of them that believe, that, you know, that group, it's the whole group doing it, were one heart. Here's how they're thinking. One heart, that means the mind, the brain. One soul, their inner being. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had all things common. Common. This company of believers had one mindset, one soul, all things common. Notice, there was no divisions. They walking by the same rule, minding the same thing. They weren't saying things like, what y'all going to do about it? It is we and us. We are in this together. We are in this company. We are praying to God. We have the same mind. Paul said in Philippians 3:16, let us walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. How is that possible? When you are guided by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, when you follow the scripture, we can be of the same mind. When we insert our opinions, that can have your mind, but that don't mean it's from the mind of God. When we are same mind, then we are thinking just like God wrote in the book, the scripture. So as these people did, so we must continue our life to be of one heart and one soul. What is that called? Unity. And I believe we have a great group of Christians in our life. And do our business and friends, I would love to tell you that. Our doors swing on welcome hinges. And the believers at Holland Heights, we have the one mind, the one heart, the one soul. It's about what's best for our soul. That's why James said, we lay upon all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. That's what brought them together. The belief in the Word of God can save the soul. If we believe it with one mind. So let's remain that way. Verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. God is still giving you with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. As a result of the prayer of these people, great power, the Bible refers to it as great power and great grace. Unmerited favor beyond what could be imagined. It was great power. They had power all because they prayed, y'all. And God granted unto them grace. He gave great power to the apostles to preach his word. He gave grace to them all. Notice it's very specific. He gave great power to the apostles and gave great grace to them all. What apostles got this kind of power? The one who witnessed the Jesus resurrection. There's no men living like that today. These men was given power to carry God's word to the world. And they're going to turn it upside down. Why? Because God granted unto them boldness to preach. And every preacher on this call that's listening to me and the young developing preachers that did it at Holland Heights, if you're in the pulpit for the right reason, it takes boldness to tell the truth. It is not wrong. Because God granted unto his apostles great boldness, great power. Speak his word. And my Paul told Tim, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word. Yes, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You can't make friends when you rebuke unless the people want to be rebuked for their best interest. Them the people who are going to receive God's word with meekness. But Paul went on and told them, 2 Timothy 4:1-3, the time will come when he will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. He said, but watch. He told Timothy, he said, watch now in all things. Endure affliction. He tells me it's going to be tough on you, Timothy. But you got to do this. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. But Paul went on to say, I am ready to be offered. He's ready now. The time of my departure is at hand. But notice what he did. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. What does boldness do? It gives you a chance to fight. What kind of fight? A good one. Was Paul bold? Absolutely. Was Timothy bold? Yes. was Peter bold? Yes. Who granted it? Who granted it? God granted boldness. He said, do the work of the evangelist. Take what comes with it. Henceforth, there is laid up for me after all this is over. What I'm looking forward to is my mansion, my robe, and my crown. That's what Paul said. It laid up for me a crown of right with the Lord, the righteous judge shall give me it today. Not to be on this part. I really like about this scripture. Verse 8. But all near my soul is love and repentance. So what I'm saying, said sister, brothers, Brother Brooke, Brother Scott, we got to do the work of the evangelists, and we have to take what comes from it. But you too must be bold and stand in the truth. As we hasten to a close, in verse 34, now was there any among them that lacked? Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and bought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto them, every man according as he had need. These people, these believers, they started working together. They had those who had land and houses, not all of them, sold them, laid the proceeds to leadership. The apostle. Why? There was obviously a need among those people because the apostle distributed to those who needed it. And we have to be the same way. We have to do it. We have to take care of people who are in need. And we do that through our relief program. And Joseph, who by the name apostles were the surname Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, and bought the money and laid it at the apostles. If you notice this, this is Barnabas. Barnabas, a preacher of the gospel, who voluntarily gave all for his cause. Notice, he having land, sold it, and took it to the apostles. Ain't that something? Barnabas, what a great man of God he was. So when people love Christ, when people love his cause, when they love the Lord, they will cheerfully give. That's why God loves the cheerful giver. You know, if you're struggling with giving, why do they give so much that day? Why is this in the Bible like this? Look how God responded to that prayer. Look who he gave his son, the holy child, was given. These people knew that. What caused us to give, right? And to give, you all, is we love God for giving the holy child who died for our sins according to the scripture. Not for his sin, he died for ours. And so if you're struggling giving to the Lord, if you not giving to any congregation, you just riding the wave, you won't make it happen because you're not a cheerful giver. You haven't learned to love God. You got to learn to love God. Giving will bless you because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. I've always felt good about my giving from a new convert. Talk about Bob Adams, how to give. Just to give. Not grudgingly. Here's how you get. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. And that's what they did. They cheerfully gave. They gave their land, whatever they had, their lives, whatever it took. 2 Corinthians 9:6. He loved a cheerful giver. Are you a cheerful giver this morning? Why did Peter and John go to these people? Why did they go to these discomfited people and talk to them about what was going on with them? Because they needed them to know. So what do we learn from these believers? What do we learn from this first century example? These people were informed by their leadership. They were informed by Peter and John what's going on. They were excited to have bold men. When they heard what happened, they started praying to the God who they knew could make the difference for Peter and John to be able to stand. They prayed to God. They went back to Old Testament They were Bible-quoting people. These people, they believed in the Word of God to be true. They went back to the Old Testament and started quoting Old Testament verses that this was going to happen. And because they prayed to God, God granted unto them what they requested was boldness. He gave them more than they asked for. He gave them great power. He gave them great grace. He gave great power to the apostles. He gave the whole group grace of favor, unmerited. It's because God is God. And these people stood together on the same mind. Listen, no way for all to stay together. Yes, it is. When we all use God's word, we can believe the same thing and have the same mind. It's only when you don't believe it. These people had all things common. They helped each other. They sold their possessions. They took care of each other's needs. They were taking care of the preachers. They were taking care of all the people. They followed their leadership. They laid it down and trusted them to make sure they did what was right. When you give, being that have been selected by you all, we got a great group of judiciary here who are in the congregation now, making sure we spend properly, making sure we're managing it right. You know, I appreciate them so very much. And so this company had trust in their leadership. And what motivated them, if you got to think about what motivated them to be these kind of people? What motivated them to be united? What motivated them to want to just stand on the Word of God? Because they were believers in the Holy Child. They were believers in Jesus the Christ. It was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. These were Christians, not called Christians yet. These were members of the one church, the Church of Christ. So how do you say that, brother? Because there was no other church. There was no modern-day denomination of church for them to even be a member of that time. That thing, those churches did not come until 600 years later after Jesus died, AD 33. 606 AD, first he had stood up, Roman Catholic Church. The rest of them came after that. They're not in the Bible, my friends. If you want to call you a member of one of those churches, I'd get out of it immediately. I'm boldly telling you that. I'd run from it. It ain't in the Bible. You can't be saved if something's not in the Bible. God didn't authorize that. In fact, Jesus said, if people draw nigh to me, their mouth, I don't mean with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain, he calls it. He said, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men. Anybody tell you denominationalism is okay? That came from man. God never said division was okay. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I beseech you, brother, by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that y'all speak the same thing. There be no division. That's right. That's what the Church of Christ, we got to boldly tell the people to say they're in the Church of Christ. That's where they are. How you know, brother? It's in the Word. I'm boldly preaching the Word. Acts 2:47 says, praise God having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church. We added to the church. Daily said you should be saved. With Paul in Romans 16:16 says, salute one another, holy kid. The Church of Christ. It identifies what church they were talking about. It's the Church of Christ. Yeah. And so these people are believers, and that day they believe what kept them together, that those people witnessed the fact that Jesus, after leaving that garden, they witnessed much of what went on before Pilate. They witnessed, many of them saw how they brutally beat Jesus, how they slapped him, how they put a crown of thorns on his head, how they whipped him with a whip, how they put the tree of the cross on his back, how they led him to Calvary, and how on Calvary they would nail him to a tree. They saw this. They witnessed it with their own eyes, that he would hang there between those two thieves, and they knew that it had to be the Son of God, just like the soldier when he died on the cross and the earthquake and all that was going on. That soldier said, truly, this was the Son of God. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Their faith came by seeing that. Ours coming by reading, the faith come by hearing the Word of God. And we believe that he was on that cross. We believe that he shed his blood. They pierced him in his side. John 19:34, out came blood and water. That blood purchase his church. That blood washed away your sins in baptism. Revelation 1 and the verses number 5. The Bible talks about how the blood washed away your sins. So when they took him down off that cross, buried him in that tomb, he resurrected with all power. And here's the command he gave. He boldly said it to him. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them. Here's how he said it, in the name about authority of the Father, the Son, and all of the Godhead, authorized baptism. What man can say baptism is not essential, but all of the Godhead authorized it. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What you must do, my friend, is believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus and be the Son of God before men. And Jesus said, if you confess me before me, and I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. And then you've got to make that confession. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Like the man in Acts 8:37, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that, then you are candidate to be baptized. After that confession made, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. That your sins may be washed away, Acts 22:16. That you may be buried with Christ and by baptism, Romans 6:3, in the following verses. Buried him by baptism. Then under the water of the grave of baptism, you contact the blood of Jesus by faith. Your sins are remitted, forgiven, washed away. You obey the Holy Spirit at that time. And then when you break up and you come out of that water, as soon as you come up from baptism, that's your first breath ever as a child of God. If you have not been underwater, you can't breathe underwater. You got to go under the water. And when you go under the water, God do what he's going to do under that water. And you come up and take your first breath as a child of God, and you keep living that life. And when you fall, you get up, and you ask God to forgive you, and you keep trying to go, because there's going to be one day that they're going to bury you, and you ain't getting up no more on this world. In this world, you'll get up to face God. Either you're facing saved, or you're facing lost. I encourage you to be baptized this morning, so you face him saved. What are you doing, Brother Brooke? Preaching with boldness. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying people who have not been baptized are not going to be saved. People who are not in Church of Christ are not going to be saved. People who don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, you're not going to be saved. People who don't give right, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be saved. People who are in denominational churches and following doctrines of men, you're not going to be saved. Why are you saying that, Brother Brooks? I can support everything I just said with Bible, with Scripture. That's why I'm bold. And I'm going to continue to be bold when they bury me beneath the sun. That's how I want to be remembered. Because God grant boldness to those who ask. If you're on the call this morning, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and you want to become a member of the Church of Christ, go ahead and hit 5-star on your phone. We're getting ready to sing the invitation song. We've got 5-step plan here. You hear the gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection story should prick your heart, knowing that God gave his holy child for you, and that holy child was killed on the cross for you, and you don't really want to respond to God. You don't love him. But if you love him, if you love him for sending his son, you love his son for dying to you, you hear that, and you believe it, number two. You repent of your sin. Number three, say, I'm not leaving. I'm not getting out this day. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to obey God today. And then you'll be willing to make a confession. And then we will baptize you wherever you are. If you ain't in Houston, we'll get you to a Church of Christ to get you baptized. Just hit 5-star on your phone and get ready to sing the invitation. So, and then when a person has been baptized, the Lord add them to the one church, which is the Church of Christ. And you stay in that one church till the day you die. Die in the Lord. Those who die in the Lord, he said, blessed are the dead to die in the Lord. To die in the Lord is to die in his body. To die in his body is to die in the church. Because there's one body, and that body is the church. So you can't die. You can't be blessed if you die outside the Lord, which means you died outside the body, which means you died outside the church. Which church, brother? Now you heard me say it. Well, no, Church of Christ. Boldly said it. Yes. Yeah. And then those of us who are members of the Lord church, we should appreciate prayer. And so if you need prayer, at this time, we want you to hit 5-star on your phone. If you need to make confession, if you need prayer, if you want to get baptized, you hit 5-star. We're getting ready to sing the invitation song at this time. And those who are praying, pray for Brother Brooks. At this time, I need your prayer. May God bless you as we sing the invitation.